And now, live from New York City via Los Angeles, California, it's time for The View from Over Here with the man who has a view for all seasons, your host, Stan Weisleder.
Okay. Talk. We're wasting airtime.
Wait a minute. He has to give us a signal.
He gave us a signal.
Oh, shit. I've been wasting all this time looking at him.
Right. By the way, if you see us staring into the cameras, because we're looking at the engineer, Aaron, who's giving us a cue when... No, stop. Oh, he's waving at us.
All right.
I'm
all
just
you
saying
people.
Hi.
Oh, hi.
All right. Now you can go back to sleep.
No,
all right. This is Stan Weisleder on The View from Over Here, broadcasting from the Mark Grau studio. And with me to my left is our producer, Malcolm Berman. Malcolm, say hello to the people.
Hello. By the way, you always forget to say they can hear our show on MalcolmDigitalRadio.com.
I'd like for you to say it. I want you to say it.
We're on MalcolmDigitalRadio.com, where we're doing radio with pictures. And I'm not sure what to call this new media. It's not television. It's not radio. It's on the Internet.
Call it the latest thing.
We're doing the latest thing. Plus, you can get it whenever you want on demand at your pleasure. You don't have to listen to us live.
And wherever you are.
And wherever you are.
You could be in the bathroom taking a dump, or you could be in your car driving cross country.
Or you could be making love to your girlfriend.
Well, would you want to be interrupted?
Well, as I say, if you have premature ejaculation, you have to think of something else. So for all those people who have premature ejaculation.
The multiplication tables.
Have us on.
Yeah, we're like the multiplication tables.
We're known as delayed orgasms.
Hey, Malcolm, what do you want to talk about today? What do you have that's important before we tune in with our special guest?
I have a lot of important things, but I came last night. I think I mentioned to you on the other show that because of my backache, I finally got a prescription for medical marijuana. I don't know if I mentioned it, but I did. It was quite simple to get with one of the doctors. But so I tried a very mild form. I went there and they tell you the whole history of what you can get and what it does to you. So I started last week. I rolled my own joints and it didn't give me a buzz at all, and I didn't feel it. So I went there the other day and I said, okay, give me something, a little more where I can feel it. Maybe, after all the years of, it's been 25 years since I tried it.
That's because you use regular tobacco the first time.
But so he gave me something, a little more potent. And they
potent
also
or impotent?
Impotent. That's a very rich man. He's impotent. So he gave me something a little strong, and he said, we have already rolled joints. And they had cigarettes that were already rolled, and it was fairly inexpensive. I think it was $5 a pop. So I bought two. So last night, I went back into my deck, and I smoked, and it was about half a joint. And I didn't feel any effect until a half hour later. And I could not get up. Lucky I wasn't standing.
It had a delayed reaction.
It had a delayed reaction. It lasted about two and a half hours. And I was going up and down.
What about the pain for which you were able to get the prescription?
Actually, this morning, waking up, there was a reduction of pain. And, of course, my wife said, it might be psychological, but what the hell, there was a reduction. Mm. And for most of the day. So I don't know what. It's not only when you're high there's a reduction, it's sort of a pain, but there might be some sort of something that stays in your body.
Malcolm, try it again for the next few days, and we'll talk about it next week.
I will, either that or you see me in the emergency ward. I was just reading an article, actually, in the Times today about how in Colorado a lot of visitors have been visiting the emergency ward. Why? They've been experimenting with marijuana that they can't get, in their home states. And it's like the visitors who go to Las Vegas who get drunk, because they never do it. These guys were just taking a whole load of dope and getting sick. Nothing serious, but just people panicking.
Hey, that'll happen when they're not used to it. It's like taking any kind of a medication or whatever. When you're not used to it, your body's not used to it. And it's an overload, whatever. Anyway, let's go on.
I'll give you an update. An update on it next week.
Okay,
if
next
I'm still
week.
Right. Okay, next, several next things chapter. I want to talk about. Number one, Scalia. this whole bullshit that the Republican Party says no matter who we're nominating, we're not even going to give him, you know, an interview, the courtesy of an interview. And my thing is, the president is a president for 4 years, not for 3 years. His last year is not, you know.
He's in his last year
he's
now.
He's in his last year, but that's his year. Yeah. Now, he shouldn't do anything presidential because he's, actually, he's really not a lame duck. The lame duck expression was when.
I think you said lame duck wrong, but either way. You know, but, the guy has till around January 11th or 12th or thereabouts, right. 2017.
So what happens if Hillary comes in? Are they going to say, well, yeah, she can't nominate it because we need a conservative justice here. We got to wait another 4 years from there.
Well, there's talk that she will
nominate
appoint Obama, or let's say try to, attempt to. It still has to be approved.
Yeah, I don't think he...
I don't think he would be approved even by the Democrats because I think by and large, basically the entire country has had enough of him.
I don't know. I like him.
You like him?
I like him.
You mean you like him better than Trump?
Well, Trump, I listened to Trump's speeches, especially after the South Carolina win. And Trump was saying, I'm going to make this a number one country. I'm going to give everybody jobs. I'm going to build that wall and Mexico is going to pay for it. I'm going to show the Chinese what a business person is. I expect the next thing, and then, of course, he argues with the Pope. Then the next thing I expect him, especially if he wins a nomination, he's going to say, change my name. I'm no longer Donald Trump. I'm Jesus Trump. And if he ever becomes president, I think he'll anoint himself Messiah.
Realistically, he's not going to be accomplishing those things that he's talking about now. Every president promises things, whether it be no taxes or new taxes. They always fuck up somehow and do not deliver on what they say, any of them.
But not with the same bravado Trump is doing.
Well, he has to get votes. You know, what better way to get in than to convince all of the dissatisfied people that he is their savior?
I think you just got to get rid of the Congress.
Well, you know what? People are tired of dealing with the professional politicians. He's not a professional politician. That's why all the people in Washington want him to get the hell out. He's spoiling it for them.
Yeah, I think he appeals to the fear of people. The hate mongers of people who
he
want
also
to.
Appeals to the people that are tired of the same old bullshit year after year after year.
Then how come they elect the same people year after year after year? It's not only the president. The president is not the king. He's not a dictator.
I know.
He has to work with the Congress.
Well, you
why
know
aren't they not electing the congressional people? The senators are get reelected year after year after year the same way with Congress.
Well, Malcolm,
with the assembly.
I know somebody. I'm not going to mention his name, but his attitude is it doesn't matter who gets in, everything will still be the same
old garbage.
Now here you have a guy who basically you cannot buy. Okay,
why not? The banks control him. He's the one that has to loan money from the banks, and he's paying off banks. So I mean, he's a big business person.
Yeah, but I don't think you could buy him like you would a normal politician. Normal politician is making, what, $250,000 a year, maybe $500,000 with all of his side bullshit or speeches or no speeches. He's making that much in a day sitting back and doing nothing.
But he's beholden to big banks. I mean, it's not that he's totally independent. I picture Trump wins the presidency, right? And the State of the Union address. He goes in front of the Joint Congress and the Supreme Court, and he tells them, okay, you guys, I'm putting down this now. If you don't put my bills through, you're all fired. I'm going to cancel this session of Congress.
He can't do that.
He can declare martial law.
On what basis, if there's no reason?
Because he's Trump.
Well,
how can someone declare martial law?
You know
it has to be a national emergency?
What would happen is that the Congress would get together and impeach him.
He just fired them all.
He can't fire a congressman. They're not put in office by him. They're voted in by their constituents per their either a district or by the state if it's a senator.
I think he'll fire them all. Okay, next.
All right, what do you got that's important to talk about?
What I am totally confused about is Apple versus the FBI.
Well, that's like one guy saying my dog is bigger than your dog.
Yeah, but that one guy is Tim Cook who controls the whole thing. Now, I don't quite understand this whole technological thing. If he breaks the code for one phone, that's sort of a key to the rest of the security for encryption.
No, what he's saying is if you set that example, that means they could come back for Johnny and Joe and Harry and Malcolm.
But right, but the thing is, if this is part of, if Malcolm is involved with a national security, if Malcolm has built a bomb and I tried to find out who I'm in conjunction with.
I think the FBI should have access if they get a proper court order for John Doe, okay?
Right, but do you think that the he should give in to them because it is part of a national, could be a national emergency, and they might be speaking to other cells around Southern California when there's another bombing?
They'll give in when Al-Qaeda or one of those groups bombs an Apple installation or sets off some kind of a terrorist situation at Apple headquarters, let's say in New York, for instance.
Well, of course, they don't want to provoke Apple, so they won't do that. They're not dumb.
They're not dumb, but they've done dumb things in the past.
And then again, if they have a code that can't be broken, why can't they extend that to...
There's no such thing as a code that can't be broken. It just takes a little longer.
Right, why can't they do to the computers around the world? I mean, these major businesses are always being hacked. How come they're not encrypted?
Every encryption can be decoded.
Except
Apple.
It
just takes longer. It'll just take longer. Government doesn't want to take that long. They want to get after his cohorts sooner rather than later.
Well,
I don't blame them.
They want to take care of his cohorts before the next emergency, not after the next bombing.
Well, if the cohorts have half a brain, they've already scrambled to other places and they've changed their cell phones and whatever. So they're non-reachable anyway at this point.
Yeah,
if they have half a brain...
Well, I don't know if they have half a brain.
Well,
but I would say that they get all their, if they were smart, they should have a group, the terrorists, watching television shows.
I'm sure they do.
And the television will come up with all these plots. And all the cop shows you see now, they all have bombing plots, they're going to bomb, the federal building, they're going to bomb schools, and they give almost a whole diagram of how to do it.
I'm sure they're doing that, Malcolm, because many times I've come up with schemes myself. I say, wow, they could do this and really cause a lot of damage. In fact, I've sent out a number of emails on one of them. I'll tell you right now what it is. It's why haven't they utilized drones in attacks? And they can easily do that in a very crowded venue like Dodger Stadium, Yankee Stadium, or whatever.
Well, I think the crowded venues might
and you
have,
don't even have to kill anyone. You just have to cause panic.
I think they have some sort of security systems about drones. I'm not sure. But I would say because it's like a no-flight zone over there and anything. I think during games they may not even have flights that go over there.
Well,
they have that during the...
You have those blimps that go over with TV cameras.
Oh, right, but the blimps are fully vetted, I'm sure.
Hey, they're not going to say, vet my drone. They're just going to send it off without anybody knowing.
But I think that's enough. I don't know. Well, if anybody's listening to the show that knows anything about security at stadiums, please let us know. It's tbginc@msn.com.
All right. What else do we have, Malc?
I think we're speaking about the presidency. I think we have the honor of having someone that's running for president.
Yeah. Well, let me introduce – well, first of all, do we have him online?
No. Aaron, could you get Mike online, please?
Sure thing. Stand by.
Okay. Put on your headset.
Okay. We're going to have somebody come on board.
As you can see, we're being prepared. We're putting our headsets on.
So if you can see us, we've donned our headsets because that's the only way that we can hear him.
And now we look like we're doing radio.
For real, yeah. The seconds are ticking. Tick-tock, tick-tock.
Time is money. Well, that's another thing which I object to is the fact that we own the airways. We lease it out to companies to do television.
Right.
Yet they're charging the candidates huge amounts of money for commercials. This should be given to them during a presidential election. The candidate, one of the, you have Citizens United, is they need that major bucks to support their commercials, which is going to people that we let use our airtime.
Well, if you're talking about things like that, there are so many deals going on between Congress, the Senate, and private corporations will make your hair stand on end.
Anyway, Aaron, anything coming through?
You should be hearing him.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
You can introduce him.
I will, but as soon as he's on board.
You want him to listen to your
intro?
Intro.
All right. Then I'll start now. We have someone, a guest. His name is Mike Marino. He's a very, very funny guy. He's Italian from New Jersey.
And what does the Pope think of him?
The Pope loves him.
Okay.
The Pope kisses his ass. Okay. And Mike is running for President of the United States of America. Mikey, are you there?
I'm here, and thank you for that incredible introduction to the show.
And now if we had the music, we would play Hail to the Chief. Because we know you're going to do extremely well.
I usually like to walk on to some Bruce Springsteen music.
No, it's Hail to the Chief.
Well, wait a minute. If you get in, Mikey, you could pick whatever music you like. But I want you to talk now to all of our people out there. What's your platform? What are you going to do? What are you going to take care of? What are you not going to do? You know, like when we had Trump on the program a couple of weeks ago. Now we want to ask you. What would you do or not do?
Well, the first thing is to let you know that I'm running on the platform called the pizza platform. I'm on the pizza platform. I want everybody to have some pizza. Pizza always makes you happy, and when you're happy, you can negotiate a little bit better.
Is that a pizza in every oven?
What is that?
A pizza in every oven, like a chicken in every pot. So then you have
there you go. I like that.
Yeah, and I like mine with extra pepperoni.
Everybody likes something different on their pizza, but everybody likes the pizza. You understand? See how we're getting along already?
Oh, yeah.
And then anything you need me to take care of, I'm sure I know somebody. And if I don't know somebody, I know somebody who knows somebody.
You're going to make an offer they can't refuse.
I will make an offer they can't refuse.
Oh, is that your platform?
I'm standing on that platform, and I'm standing very firm on that platform so I don't fall off. See the difference?
Mikey, how would you deal with ISIS, for instance?
Not a problem. I got a phone call into them right now. I'm going to call them up. I'm going to say, hey, listen, I don't know how the things got so out of hand between us. Well, let's go to Vegas. We're going to go out there, me and you and your friends. We'll sit down. We'll talk. Have a couple of cocktails. We'll have some pizza. Then we'll go out. We'll go out dancing or something. Then the next day, we don't know where they are. They're gone, and there's nothing you could do about it. But they had a good time.
Where do you think you're in Mexico?
We could take them there, too. I'll tell you what, if we had ISIS and we drove them from California to Vegas, you know halfway there, you're in the middle of the desert, they'd feel comfortable, they'd feel right at home, and then all of a sudden, they disappeared.
Well, yeah, if they could get back on their camels, of course.
Righto. If you think about it, if that really was solutions to certain problems, who could argue that? Because I was the president, I would always just say, I'm sorry, I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
It's over.
Well, I think the number that sticks in my mind, they say, as far as combative ISIS people, there are about 30,000. I don't understand how 30,000 is capturing the imagination of the world when you have, like, standing armies in Saudi Arabia. Arabia, I think, has like 1 million soldiers.
But they can't fight. They run when the enemy shoots at them.
They're
not trained right. They're not determined.
Okay, what would you do about the economy?
I'd fix the economy because it's very easy to do. in America and in different parts of the world, we like to put up new stuff. We could actually just remodel the old stuff. You'd be saving a lot of money, and a lot of people would go to work. And then we got to get rid of self-serve. Wherever you go now, it's self-serve, self-checkout, self-airline ticket. We got to put the people back in their jobs because the machine is taking over.
That means the people running those institutions will make less money because they save money when they have machines doing the jobs.
Yeah, I understand that, but we got to get rid of the people who made the machine. Because if they didn't make that machine, people would be there working.
Well, you have to get rid of the computer because everything now is you can...
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, pay on,
well,
pay
I'm
on computer.
Do- on that. I'm bringing back the 80s. I'm bringing back the 1980s. We're getting rid of the cell phones. And we're getting rid of Twitter. We're getting rid of Facebook. And we're bringing back the fax machine, the whiteout, and the staple gun.
You got my vote.
All right.
We were happier then.
So you're bringing back the fax machine. What else?
But how many of the millenniums know what hell the fax machine is?
I don't think any
they
of them know.
They don't know what a fax machine is. They never used whiteout. They never made a mistake. If you have a question in this world these days, all you do is ask Google.
Right.
What happened to asking your friend who had no idea? Then you had to look it up, figure it out, get a dictionary.
Hey, I remember staying hours in the 42nd Street Library.
That's right.
You know, Manhattan.
Now, kids don't even know what a library is. I think if you Google library, it says, I don't know.
Yeah.
Google don't know is what
well,
a library
Well, it says library. It's a structure that we used to have in ancient times, which was a repository for books. Now it's true. You don't have to go there. I do all of my research for my writing on the computer. I never have to leave the house. I don't even have to get dressed. I could sit around in my underwear all day.
And that's what you're doing now?
I'm doing it right now, of course. I just have to get on the computer and bing, bang, there it is.
Bing, bang. Yeah.
Bing, bang, bada boom, bada bing.
Bada boom, yeah. I knew that would lead right into you.
Once I'm the president of the United States. Thank you, bada boom, bada bing. Good night.
How would you... get by with the Chinese since you want to give pizza out and you don't want to give Chinese food out? Or would you...
Well, you know, we would go over to China and say, hey, listen, why don't you taste some of this pizza? And then when they take out their chopsticks and they try to eat it, I'd be like, excuse me, gentlemen, fold your pizza like a New Yorker.
Well, yeah. That's not what
fold
de Blasio did. That's what not de Blasio did, if I remember.
Chopsticks won't work, but what did de Blasio do?
He ate it with a knife and fork.
Oh, Jesus. He ate it with a knife and fork.
Yep. I think when he first...
Fell out.
No wonder he's a shitty mayor.
I don't like him at all. I really don't.
How can anybody eat pizza with a knife and fork? You know, that reminds me sometimes I've seen guys eat spare ribs, okay? Instead of picking it up with their hand and munching on it, they peel it off with a knife and fork and eat little tidbits of it. That's insane.
That defeats the whole purpose of eating a spare rib. You're supposed to eat a spare rib leaning over the table with the juices flowing down your elbows and your legs parted just enough so that the scraps can fall between you and your legs.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, so the dog can get it.
Or some...
You know, when you go to an airport right now and you see the sign that says, if you see something, say something.
Yeah.
And we're getting rid of that. Who are you to say anything and why are you a rat? From now on, you're going to say, see a sign that says, you don't know nothing, you didn't see nothing, you don't say nothing.
Know nothing, see nothing, say nothing.
They're like the three monkeys, hear no evil, see no evil, and speak no evil.
So far, I like your concept of pizza, the pizza platform.
Hey, Mikey, do you have a potential VP selected yet?
Oh, yeah, I got a couple of VPs. I got Vinny, Nikki, Tony, Petey, Salvi.
Oh, all those guys. Got it.
You're not going to reincarnate Jimmy Hoffa?
I think he's got some kids we could talk to.
Yeah.
Grandkids, maybe. I got a lot of good ideas. I'm getting rid of the copay. There's no such thing as a copay. If the doctor don't put up any money, how is it a copay? That makes no sense.
Well, the state does.
Get rid of that.
Yeah, I think the doctor should make... For the copay, not us.
Well, I forget where the system is. I don't think it's here. I'm not sure if it's modern day, where the doctor gets paid for keeping you well. if you're sick, then it's free.
You know what else I'm going to do? Gun control. Now, look, everybody has the right to bear arms. But you don't need a machine gun, and you don't need a grenade launcher. You need a little handgun. You want to keep a handgun to keep you and your family safe? Great. But if you have this want to have a machine gun or a grenade launcher or a bazooka, not a problem. I'm going to make sure you get one of those, too. It comes with a camouflage uniform and a one-way ticket to the front line. So if you're ready to shoot, join the Army and start shooting the enemy. Away you go.
Well, Mikey, you know what gun control is? Squeezing the trigger properly.
That's right. And hitting the target you're trying to hit.
Absolutely.
I like what they say, you know, some of the... you know, in these situations, they say, gee, if the people had guns, there would never be this, the mass slayings. I can picture everybody pulling out a gun and shooting each other because you don't know who the hell the original shooter was.
But, Malcolm, everybody in this country, so far as I could tell, except for, a wife or a husband who comes home and finds their spouse in bed with somebody else, other than those people, all of the other mass shooters were all people that were nuts. They were off their meds, or they never took their meds, or they ran out of meds, or they were never diagnosed as a nutcase.
That's also a problem that I see, too. I'm sorry, but we have to bring back the eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. If you're a nut, you're out of your mind, you shoot a bunch of people, and then you're getting shot, too. You're not going on trial. We're not going to try to figure you out. We're not going to ask you why you come from a crazy family. You didn't take your meds. No. If you're a parent of a kid who got shot in a massacre like that, that guy's going home with that family. And they can do whatever they want with that guy. Because I'll tell you right now, if I had children and they got shot in a massacre and I had my hands on that guy, I'd show absolutely no mercy whatsoever.
Well, good for you.
Now, actually, I wouldn't like to put him out of his misery that soon. If I had something, I'd...
Make him wait it out?
I believe in torture. Like, what they have, actually, in this country, which is a cruel and unusual punishment, solitary confinement. There are people who spend 23 hours confined to a cell with no light and no contact with people. To me, that's torture. And that's what they deserve.
Oh, well, we can do that, too. If you're the family and that's what you want to do to the guy, okay, yeah. Bring on the torture. But he's not going on trial. Right. And he's not getting 3 square meals a day, and he's not living on somebody else's dime.
Or watching TV in his free time.
Right. You're not going to watch TV. You're not even going to know anything about the trial that you're in.
But let's say he says he's innocent.
Yeah.
They all say they're innocent.
Now, how many times have, in the recent, especially now with, where people have been in jail 30 years, and then the DNA, they decided that the guys are really innocent, where he's sentenced to death and...
Yeah, but if you have him on film, if somebody had their cell phone on, and of course the guy's lawyer, I say it's a guy, it's usually a guy, his lawyer is going to say, he's innocent until proven guilty.
It's doctored.
It's made up. In some cases, the lawyer should be put on trial. And that's what you got to do, Mikey. If somebody is arrested for a crime, a really heinous, really bad thing, and he has a lawyer representing him, the lawyer should also be held accountable and tried just as much as the perpetrator.
I like that, too. I like that a lot. But none of this frivolous lawsuit.
Right.
If you can't prove your case, you are screwed.
I think there are going to be a lot less attorneys then.
Good.
But you know what?
Could you imagine?
Who cares?
Somebody taking on a frivolous lawsuit saying, this person deserves this much money because they burnt their lip drinking hot coffee out of McDonald's. Okay, well, if you think that's the case you want to take and you can't make this happen the right way, we're going to sue you too.
there are countersuits.
Well,
like
there was a case like that, but the judge must have been smoking something. Why would the judge grant such a large sum in what was so blatantly a frivolous lawsuit?
Because it was his wife.
Maybe he got a little taste of it somehow. Yeah.
But when Stan was saying he could see someone murdering someone when he would come home and he sees his wife in bed with someone else, I mean, my first thought was, no, he doesn't want to murder them. He wants to video it and put it...
Let it go viral?
Let it go viral. and I caught my wife, and look at her. I mean, that's a new thing nowadays.
That could embarrass the shit out of them for, like, the rest of their life.
No, they'll make money at it.
You mean to sell it?
Sell it.
Oh.
Everybody's
got a little one for some cashola.
There was a story.
You know what you do? If you have something like that, you could get sponsors or people that put their ads on for 15 seconds.
Viagra would be
whatever.
Perfect.
Yeah, all of those things.
See,
in fact, anything.
Well, there's this young couple, not young. I guess they were in their 30s or their 40s. I saw this on TV a few years ago, like 2020, something like that. And both of them were struggling to earn a living. And they decided to put their bedroom on video. And they had like a private club that you paid X amount of money per month, and you saw them having sex. And they made millions. And they were always frightened that their neighbors would object to it if they found out. It turns out the neighbors did find out. Now they watched it, but they also wanted to appear on it. They wanted guest spots.
Sounds like a fun neighborhood.
Yeah, it's a strange world. Is that your neighborhood? Where do you live now?
I have a place in New Jersey, and I have a place in Studio City, California. Right now I'm actually in Florida. I'm on my way to do a fundraiser right now with soprano superstar Vinny Pastore and I. We've got one tonight and one tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now the big question, since you were on the pizza.
Boy, I have a question.
Okay.
Mikey, do you know a guy down in Florida? He books a lot of people in your business. Do you know a Howie Rapp?
Yeah, I've worked with Howard Rapp a couple times.
Oh, okay.
Howard Rapp and Arnold Graham.
Yeah, that's his partner, Arnold.
That's right.
Okay, now my big question, which might create controversy. Who makes better pizza? Where is the best pizza?
I don't know if he wants to say.
It depends on exactly what you like, but in New Jersey, you really do get the best slice of pizza. But if you go into Manhattan, I'm sure you're going to get a slice of pizza that will rival that.
What about the Bronx? Some people say the Bronx is the best. The Bronx.
You know, they might have a good slice of pizza in the Bronx. East Coast pizza is always going to bring you the best. I'm sure there's some good slices down here in Florida.
Hey, I got to tell you.
I doubt it.
No, Malcolm, he's right. I was at a place, Howie Rapp took us to this place, an Italian restaurant. I don't remember the name or exactly where it is, not too far from where he lives. And they had, to me, the most incredible pizza. Absolutely. It was a couple of years ago, and it's still in my mind. That's how good it was.
It's probably still in your digestive system.
No. I got it through my pipes and down the toilet long ago.
I remember the first time that I took my wife to Manhattan. I'm a native New Yorker, as you can tell by my accent.
Right.
She was so amazed that every street that we walked down in New York, Midtown Manhattan, there was a pizzeria that sold pizza by the slice, and one was better than the other. Every time we went, she said, "Oh, this is the best pizza I had." We walked two blocks down. "Oh, this is even better."
So she would eat all that pizza?
She would eat all that pizza.
Wow.
But she does running, so she's thin. She runs it out.
She's strong, too. From the looks of her, I think she could kick the shit out of you, Malcolm.
Yes, she can. I wouldn't test that theory. So anyway, how is your campaign going? What type of response have you been getting?
Right now, I'm pulling up to a show at an Italian restaurant called Zuccarelli's, and they got the whole place decorated like a nice Italian festival. I'm sure they're going to have incredible food. And here's where I'll be running to get some votes. I've been running all up and down the state of Florida for votes. I did California, New Jersey, New York. And I am on the ballot. I got on the ballot out of New Jersey. I needed 800 signatures. I got all the signatures, and now I'm technically running.
That's
good.
If
you go to my YouTube channel, Mike Marino TV on YouTube, you see we have released 6 episodes of Mike Marino running for president. The show is called Marino 2016. It's absolutely hysterical. You got to see who's in it.
Mikey, suggestion. Since you're not running with one of these definitive political parties, you're like an independent. And because you're not running with the big guys, you may have to ask people to do a write-in vote, assuming you can't get on the ballot with your name and spot. So you could, if that's the case, you could have, you could request a lot of people, just write it in. Put my name, send it in. And
okay.
Maybe they'll, you know, they'll flood the post office with it. I sure hope so.
Yes. Well, you know, I got bumper stickers.
Well, okay, bumper stickers are good. In fact, I could think of a couple of good ones, but we won't go down that road now.
Let me ask you a question. You get emails from me, don't you?
Absolutely.
You watch those episodes.
I have
a lot of fun with them.
That's why we wanted you on, because we've seen those. It's, we got to get Mikey back here. I know you were on about a year and a half ago or so.
Except I take you seriously about running for president.
No, I take him serious,
well,
too.
It all started a couple of years ago when I went on a talk show and I said we had an Italian president running the country. We'd go around the world whacking people. It seems to resonate with the voters.
Now, if you can get the Pope to endorse you, you know, we know he doesn't like Trump.
He loves me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I tell him all the time, hey, did you get my package?
Yeah,
did you get my money? All right, keep it real. Keep it real.
you're one of his people.
That's right.
Well, you know what? If Mikey does get a lot of write-in votes, okay, he could. He can really get a lot if he appeals to enough people and really exposes himself. And I don't mean expose yourself. I mean getting exposure as opposed to exposing himself.
Yeah, you have Marino is running and he's exposed.
Hey, if he gets enough write-in votes, that'll get him a lot of attention. And who knows? You may not win the election, but if you get enough write-in votes, I guarantee whoever does get in, they'll give you a job in their cabinet.
Or you might become a Supreme Court judge. How's your legal background?
I have a job installing some cabinets because I was a carpenter.
Well, hey, so is Jesus.
Yeah, right. He's in good company.
He's the head of the 12 families. I know all about it. I'm a good Catholic. What happened to Jude? He got whacked. He talked too much. I know everything about the Bible.
All right, that's great.
Do you know the three reasons they decided that Jesus was Jewish?
What?
He lived at home till he was 30.
Uh-huh.
He went into his father's business, and his mother told him he was God.
There you go.
I mean, that's a typical Jew growing up in Brooklyn.
It's all good stuff, guys. And now my car just pulled into this bistro where we got to go do this event. I hope I've been on the show with you guys long enough because I do have to go into this event
and
collect some votes.
You got to make some money and you got to collect some votes. But tell them, send me your write-in votes.
Hey, and anybody listening to this show right now or whenever you air this, please vote for MikeMarino.net. Write in, send some emails, tell the world you kind of like what I have to say.
Yeah, Mike, we're on Malcolm Digital Radio. We're a podcast. So this show will probably be on Malcolm Digital tomorrow, the day after. But then you'll be on there forever, or until we decide to delete you.
Well, thank you very much. You can send the clip to me, and I'll put it on my social media as well.
Okay, and send us a link to your website, and we'll try to put that on our website so people could get a hot link directly to you.
Whenever they
want.
All right,
guys. Thank you.
All right, bye, Mikey.
Good luck.
MikeMarino.net signing off. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye. Okay, we could take off the headsets now. We were talking before the show about, I think it was Pat Paulson, I forget what year it was, who ran
like
this.
30 years ago,
yeah,
I
who ran for president.
He
had major media exposure.
Well, he was on national TV. But he was getting a lot of write-in votes, and towards the end, the very last segment when he was on TV, he had to apologize and actually tell his viewing audience that it's all a joke, it's a gag, it's not for real, and he made himself look really stupid on that last show. He wore some kind of a rooster outfit so as to totally dissuade anybody from sending in more write-in votes.
Well, he was known the cock that crowed.
Yeah, exactly. But I remember watching it, and he was funny, and he was always deadpan, very serious.
Well, that was his old
that was his, his persona anyway.
He was very deadpan. You know, he could say the wildest things without a smile. And he had the thin, gaunt face.
Yeah. Think he's still alive?
I don't think so. Now, I don't remember. It was either Rowan Martin or Laffin. Or it's Laffin, Rowan Martin.
Don't know.
With when they had Goldie Hawn and...
I honestly don't remember. I don't think it was Laffin because I never watched Laffin. Maybe it was... I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Hey, you know what? We get home later. We'll Google it. Like everything else.
Well, it's Google. Google must have been one of the words of some year.
I have no idea.
Well, what was the word of this year? Emoji?
I don't know.
Did you see the emojis that Facebook is putting up?
No.
Now it's only not like they have a one where they have a heart where it's love, and they have a one with a smiley face, which is ha ha ha. And they have an angry face, which is dislike.
That I've seen, and you call those emojis?
Emojis.
I didn't know that.
I have no idea where that word came from.
I didn't know that.
Well, now you know. You listen
now
to.
I know.
See,
okay.
Listen to the show.
You mean listen
did
to you?
Did you know that, Aaron?
Listen to you. That's what you mean.
Did you know emojis?
Yes, sir, I did.
Okay, you see, he's hip.
Well, he's smarter than I am.
Oh, he's younger than you were. But then again, everybody's younger than you. Except me, I'm not that young.
Well, you're younger than me.
I'm younger than you.
Yeah.
But you have a lot more experience. In other ways, the ways of the world.
Depends what? Some things I don't know diddly shit about. Some things
I know about writing.
Too much about.
You did not bring your book with you, did you?
Oh, no. Well, you know what happened to me today. I rushed like hell to get here.
Yeah, I call him up in the morning and, you know, our time, our recording time is 2 o'clock. So it's about 12 o'clock and I said, what are you doing now? I said, oh, I'm getting ready to go to the doctor. And I said, what time do you have the doctor? He says 2 o'clock. I said, what the hell are you talking about? The show is today. He said, but today is Wednesday. I said, no, today is Thursday. And he had been talking to me the last few days, and he knew that today was Thursday. Well, but somehow we lost today.
I lost it. I knew yesterday was Wednesday, therefore Thursday usually follows Wednesday, at least the last I can remember. But somehow today, I don't know why, I really thought it was Wednesday.
Do you think you're living in another dimension?
I don't know.
You think it has to do with your scars, with where you hurt yourself?
No, because the medication is not that strong, and it's not that the wound is causing me any great pain. In fact, it only itches.
I can give you something that will alleviate the pain.
Yeah, what?
3 guesses.
Malcolm, I know that on this show we could say whatever we like, but there's a limit.
There are no limitations.
No, well.
You don't like to reveal your personal life. That's a problem.
I'm still old-fashioned enough not to want to go all out.
Well, that's
on a program.
Now, that's I listened to Kelly and Mike. They're saying the most intimate things. And their number one rated show in the morning drive on TV. All of these, you listen to any of the shows on television or radio, people are opening up themselves because what people like to listen to is not something that's pre-prepared. They like hearing what's happening in real life. I mean, that's why Trump is. Trump is not pre-prepared. He doesn't have his speeches that, you know, are sanitized.
Well, I think maybe he should. If he did, I think he'd be a little bit more popular with the so-called professional politicians.
I don't think
because they all hate his guts.
I don't think he'll ever be popular with the professional politicians.
Well, I think the big problem is that he's so successful, nobody can give him any advice. Nobody could tell him, "Hey, calm down, tone it down, or whatever."
Well, he
is his own worst enemy.
Well, why should he? I mean, right now he's going full throttle.
Yeah, but when you're dealing with people in the boonies, but what about when you come to a state where the people are a little bit more on,
sophisticated, educated?
More educated. I wouldn't say more sophisticated.
Better educated.
Better educated, more rounded education. He's going to have to watch his P's and Q's.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah.
I mean, he
took Nevada.
I think in Nevada he won every category. He won the least educated. He won the better educated. He won the rich. He won the poor. He won women. He won Latinos.
Well, I think if the Republicans really want to get a Republican into office, they need him, because it looks like Hillary will be the Democrats' front runner. And there wasn't one Republican, there isn't one Republican on all of their within all of their candidates.
What you watch? Who
I think could beat Hillary. I think the only one who could take her down would be Trump.
Well, I'm a Hillary fan. I'm going to vote for her. Every time I hear her on, whether it be, interviews, whether it be debates, she has all the knowledge at her fingertips. You ask her about something, she knows about it. She tells you what happened. She's been there. If you want somebody that has previous experience.
Yes.
And she's really not part of the mechanism of, well, she is and she isn't.
She is part of. She's, you know, she's the accepted already front runner for the Democratic Party. So she's in. Sanders comes along. He's like an old hippie wannabe kind of person. There's no way he could beat her unless the FBI and somehow can get her indicted for something she did.
Yeah, but Bernie's doing and it's funny. It's not Senator Sanders. It's Bernie.
Bernie, yeah.
It would be President Bernie. It'd be the first one we'd have President Bernie.
The guy from the neighborhood. Okay. Well, so far, the only ones that seem to be in his favor are people under 30.
Millenniums. Well, actually, you say from he is
or,
from my...
Or
he is
under from, 25.
He is from my neighborhood. He was born in Brooklyn. He went to Madison High School. I think he graduated in 1959. Madison and Lincoln were traditional rivals. I went to Lincoln. He went to Brooklyn College. I went to CCNY. But then I think he transferred after a year. He went to Chicago. He married a non-Jewish lady. I married a non-Jewish lady. he's culturally Jewish but not religious.
So, but he had the smarts
I could have been
enough
president.
To go up to some cockamamie state where there's hardly any population and run for office.
Well, now I'm not sure where I get this. I think I heard it or I read it.
Where does he come to be a senator from Vermont? He probably doesn't even ski.
Yeah, well, he was the mayor of Burlington, and I think he'd been an assemblyman in Vermont. So he grew up from there.
Okay.
But I hear he moved to Vermont because
there was an opening for senator.
No, very practical reasons. The land was cheaper to buy a house and to live there than it was in New York.
That's true. Yeah, it's a lot cheaper. Well, he could have gone to Texas. It's cheaper there too.
Yeah, but
right?
Then you have to deal with Texans.
Okay.
I know this about when I before I moved here. So it was about 30 years ago. I was driving through Texas on Highway 10 through Odessa, and the sheep rancher rear-ended me. So happens the Texas Rangers were passing through then and stopped to see what was wrong. I did not understand what they were saying. They talk with their mouth full of cotton. And, of course, I was from New York. I spoke seven times faster than I do now. They couldn't understand me. They had to speed up, and I had to slow down. It's like Winston Churchill said that we were two people separated by a common language.
Yeah, he was right. You know, that reminds me one time we took a trip. It was a cruise of the Mediterranean. And at our table was a couple from England. And for 10 days, I didn't know what the fuck they were talking about. I mean, all I did was nod my head or shake my head, either way. And I don't know if I shook my head the right way to what was saying, but I didn't understand a damn thing they said.
How about that? Ten days.
What
was funny, they had a skit on Johnny Carson. Johnny Carson was a big tennis fan, and he used to go to Wimbledon all the time for the tennis tournament in England.
Yeah, but not as a player.
No, not
as
a player,
spectator.
As a spectator. And they set up a gag with that. They had a group of English people talk to him, and this was all filmed, and they were saying nonsense. They were talking Rock Valley, you know, the old English way, like you were talking. You didn't understand a word they said. But they were talking nonsense, and they got close-ups of him, and he was nodding his head sort of in agreement. But you could see in his eyes was that puzzical, quizzical look. He didn't know what the hell they were talking
about. That must be real funny.
Because they weren't saying anything. Then just an adjunct story to that, there's a who is very good with dialects. It was an old comedian, Sid Caesar.
Yeah, Sid Caesar, he was an act unto himself.
Right. He could do any dialect. It sounds like he was speaking the language.
And it wasn't.
No. And Carl Reiner tells a story about how one time they were in Rome. And they got into a car accident.
I remember that.
And the police stopped to talk to Sid Caesar. And he starts speaking to them
in his Italian.
And Carl Reiner said, they're thinking for sure they're going to arrest them and put him away. But the guys were looking at each other. They're like, they should understand, but they didn't understand.
Well, you have different dialects in Italy that sound totally different from official Italian. If you come from Bari, B-A-R-I, which is on the boot, somewhere's on the boot of the...
By Sicily?
No, the other side. You know, Sicily is near the toe.
Yeah, I don't.
Anyway, they have a totally different dialect. And if you come from there and you're talking to somebody who speaks Italian, you don't know what they're saying and they don't know what you're saying.
It's like me with the people from Texas.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I remember a lot of stories about Sid Caesar. We used to have him on the New York Alumni Association. And he was getting on in years, so he couldn't get up on the stage and make a, do a thing. But the spotlight would go on him while he was in the audience. And let's say somebody up at the front stage, on stage, would ask him a question. And he would start in without end, going into his routine like in the old days. Different, and he funny as hell. Everybody would be laughing. And I remember when he died, I went to his funeral.
Jerry Cutler was a rabbi, didn't he? Jerry Cutler do the eulogy? Because he does the eulogy for everyone.
He does for everyone. But the thing that I wanted to say, a number of people there they were asked if they want to make, not necessarily a eulogy, but some comments. So I guess they were eulogies. And these people are not comedians, and they were very good. So it was... His funeral was probably one of the best shows I've ever gone to. It was great.
We'll probably
it was full of entertainment.
They're going to release that next week. You'll see it, Ed. And here's Sid Caesar's funeral, only for you for $9.99.
I don't know if anybody filmed it, but I remember.
They bootlegged it.
Maybe. Who knows? I haven't heard anything about a recording made or anything being for sale.
But anyway, now that we're running out of time, are you going to be here next week?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Oh, you had something you wanted to talk about. You said the rising waters.
Right. We can talk about that if we're...
Well, yeah, we have time.
No, we're 53 minutes. Oh. We have 2 minutes left because I want to get out at 55.
Oh, okay.
But so you're going to be around next week.
Yes.
And then you're going to Florida.
Down to Florida. Probably see Mikey down there.
Are you going to take your wife back, or are you going to keep her there?
No, take her back. Yeah, it's
sure?
time.
Sure
yeah,
you want
yeah,
to?
Yeah, it's time.
You can say anything you want. She doesn't listen to the show.
No. You know what? It'll be that one time when I say something I shouldn't, she'll listen. Trust me. As sure as the sun will rise tomorrow, that will happen.
Well, maybe that's how we can make her to listen to the show. You say something that you shouldn't.
Hey, I'm still trying to get her to use a computer or an iPad.
No, don't. I want to buy that from you. Remember, I want to buy the computer from you.
Yeah, but the iPad. I wanted to use an iPad.
Good luck, Charlie.
Well, I'm trying, working on it slowly.
But anyway, you're listening to
The View from Over Here.
Heard on.
MalcolmDigitalRadio.com.
That's digital radio with pictures on some of the shows. Some of the shows we don't have pictures.
What about sound?
Sound? We have sound.
Sound. We have sound.
It's a sound show.
It's a sound show because it has sound, and we are of sound mind.
I speak for yourself.
Well, I am.
I'm not sure if I'm a sound. I don't know what sound mind means.
That means you're not nuts.
Certain times my wife thinks I'm nuts.
But I hear from her that it's every day.
Stan, say goodbye.
24/7. Goodbye. Okay.
You can wait. You can
We're
even wait.
We're signing off.
You
Here
can
we
even
go.
Wave
no,
like this.
No, no, no.
Goodbye.
All right, I'll wave to you. Okay, so this is Stan Weisler and Malcolm Berman here at the studio, Mark Rouse Studios in downtown glamorous. Where are we?
Burbank.
Yeah.
Anyway, Aaron, cut us off. It's over.